Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler. This is episode number 37, and on this show, it's all about meeting people doing great things. Hope you're all remaining to stay safe and well as we all get through this COVID lockdown stuff together. Great to see the vaccinations rolling out with great speed in the UK and indeed over here in Ireland. We're catching up pretty quick, and I think it does fill you with hope, doesn't it? And you kind of feel that we're all going to come out of this the other side and all be meeting in person in the not too distant future. Now, we love to hear from you on the Sight and Sound podcast. Remember, you can get in touch by sending an email to podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. We always enjoy hearing your thoughts and comments, etc. You know, I love putting these shows together, and it's always interesting chatting to people because this is what these shows are about. It's just talking to people. The shows I love most is when we talk to people that we know or who are known to us, our collaborators, our customers, our friends, I suppose, who are doing really great things. And this is what this show is about. It's about finding out how creative people are doing creative things during lockdown. And I want to start by introducing Alex Gibbons. Alex actually came onto my radar last year when he was attending some of our Webinar Wednesday events. My colleague Sharon heard about his Doctor Who podcast, and it's about the Doctor Who podcast. We really want to catch up with him, and he joins us today. Alex, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Thanks so much, Stuart, for having me.
So tell us a little bit, maybe just to start, about yourself. Whereabouts are you? Where are you living these days?
I'm based in a lovely Exeter in Devon, and I've been here for a few years now. I did live in London for a while, but I'm back in Devon. I've been here for quite a while now. So it's lovely Devon, lovely part of the country, you know, sort of joys of lockdown. It's been quite good being in Devon.
Okay, I've never had the pleasure of being. I do know, though, when people talk about Devon, they talk about the cider in Devon. Is that correct? It's kind of known for its cider?
Yeah, it's more Somerset, but it is lovely. Somerset, yeah, more okay. Devon cider is beautiful. And the area is lovely to be in. It's not a bad place being when we've been sort of locked in for the last year and a bit. It's been quite a pleasant place to be.
All right, and speaking of the lockdown, how have you been managing? What have you been doing with yourself over the last year outside of the podcast, which, of course, we'll talk about in a sec?
Well, multitude of stuff, just keeping busy, doing different books. I read a lot, just watching lots of different stuff and sort of general stuff for the podcast sort of interconnects with that, and sort of keeping fit as well, and just keep it managing to just, you know, just keep somehow, like we're all doing, somehow just keeping going basically, because we just don't know when this is going to end, unfortunately, now.
Absolutely. So let's talk about this podcast. Now, you're a presumably a big Doctor Who fan. I'm kind of thinking, Alex, and, you know, I haven't looked, I'm sort of assuming there were other podcasts out there about Doctor Who. What made you set up this one?
Well, yeah, there's always been sort of various Doctor Who podcasts, because it's a very big thing. It's, you know, Doctor Who's been going for nearly 60 years now. And I just thought there was a sort of a niche area. There's not a great deal on actually discussing the books, because, you know, Doctor Who has had target novels for years. Basically what happened is when Doctor Who went off, you know, the BBC didn't want it any longer, so instead of having that, you managed to you had a book instead. You had a novelization of the actual episode you'd had before, and the sort of people who used to work on it wrote it, and that's how, before it came back in the Russell T. Davis era in the last couple of years, you know, that's how you got through it. You went through the wilderness years with books and novels and comics, basically, and that's how you got through it. And I got into it, you know, many years ago. I got into it when I was about 10, 11. But, you know, there are lots, yeah, I agree, there are lots of different podcasts out there. And I started off doing another one, and then I made this one, basically, due to different reasons. But the books are basically the target novelizations, how people got through that period when there was, you know, back in the days, I know now we have everything that's download, and, you know, we can get anything when we want. But those were back in the days where once it had been watched, you couldn't watch it again. So you had to get around it by basically reading the novelization of it. And that's what we mainly do. We discuss the target novelizations. We also do a bit of the modern series. And what I've been doing is when the new series on, I normally stop doing the books and basically do a weekly podcast on the novelization of the actual TV episodes. And that's what we've been doing. You know, we want to get more people involved. We want to get more of the Doctor Who world involved. And that's what I'm up to, basically.
It sounds great, Alex. One of the things I have been sort of very interested to watch over the last year, and I've been reading some stuff and actually talking to a couple of people in this space like yourself, is that there are more podcasts. I think one of the stats I saw by the middle of 2020, so say last July, was there was more podcasts produced in the first half of 2020 than there was in the whole of 2019. And that's because of lockdown and because people had a bit more time and people have this, I suppose, thirst for content. Have you noticed an increase in listenership? Are people coming to you going, I want more, give me more of this stuff?
Well, yeah, we've noticed when it depends what we do. You know, if I'm doing the normal one, it sort of does, you know, you get normal sort of 10, 30 people listening. Well, if you do one actually on stuff they really want, then it just goes through the roof. And I agree that, you know, because podcasts are so easy to pick up, and you can just pick up one on the, you know, when you're walking on the bus, you can just sort of get into it. And they're really easy to do. You don't, you know, you can go sort of very techie and get it sounding beautiful and, which I'd like to get to eventually. But if you're just starting out like I am, you can just pick up a phone, you know, plug your headphones in your way. So they're so easy to do. And subscribing, so you have to have people to host the podcast, are really not that expensive these days. So it's a really emboldening format. I know a lot of people think, well, I can do this and make thousands out of it. Well, unfortunately, you don't make money out of these things, unfortunately. But they're more a love project in my case. But
absolutely. Yeah. And you know, you've brought up a really good point there about sort of getting started and the idea that you can pick up your phone, there's apps now to make you sound really good, that people can pretty much just about get going with minimal technology and minimal know-how. How did you get going, or what are you using to make your podcast?
Well, this is a really interesting one, because I started off when I redid the podcast, I started off by using computer software and having to learn Audacity and all those sort of fiddly things, and then I found that there wasn't a shortcut keys longer in them, because I used Jaws for my laptop, and there wasn't a particular shortcut keys. So I thought, right, I need to go back to basics here. And then I just watched a video where a guy in America was just, all he was using was his iPhone, which I've got an iPhone, and the software that's on the iPhone, which is really good for recording, and the headphones what come with it. And that's all I use. And you just play with it a bit when you do the final edit, and there's so good sort of software cleaning thing actually in the basic software. You just don't need to spend an absolute fortune. You can do that, you know, if you know what you're doing, you can spend, you know, good editing software and that, you know, if you want to make it a high-end podcast. But if you're just starting out like I've been doing for the last couple of years now, you just don't need to spend the money these days, because the phone software is that good.
And I think that's the beauty of that stuff, isn't it? Because there are so many people, I think, for many years who wanted to podcast, who had something to say, something important that, you know, people should hear, may have felt that they were excluded from that. And I think it's one of the interesting things that lockdown has maybe given people the time to discover, hang on, I can do this and I can make it sound great and everybody can hear what I want to say as well.
Oh, exactly, exactly. You just don't need to spend a fortune. And you can, you know, you can buy a decent microphone, you can buy the software on your laptop, your MacBook. You just don't need to do that. And you can just sit there and think, oh, I've got this to say. I'll just get open voice note on my phone, whack it out. And yeah, you can make it sound better because it, you know, has enhancements and all that. And then you just stick it up like I do, straight onto a podcast ring in your way. And that's the beauty of it these days. And I think that's why the whole podcast industry is absolutely flowing. People are getting their, you know, feelings out, you know, and getting subjects out about all things. And it's brilliant at the moment, because, you know, we're stuck in lockdown and there isn't, you know, the greatest match do you have to think, you have to get up every day and think, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to get so I don't get down? Because, you know, it's just so easy with this lockdown thing to think, oh God, it's never going to end and I'm going to be stuck here. And you just have to keep going. So yeah, podcasts are really quick and easy thing to do, I think, these days. You do not need to be a tech guru. You don't need to have, you know, how to work out coding and how to pick how to do a microphone. All you need basically is a decent phone. All phones have decent voice recording software these days.
Are you always thinking ahead? One of the things, and I'm always interested talking to people about this, because I find it myself, you know, you produce a show and you put it up and already you're planning the next one, or you might even be doing that before you produce this one. Are you working ahead by maybe a week or two?
Yeah, I'm always when I finish the one I just done, I'm always thinking, well, what are we doing next? And then I look at what's coming out, because, you know, we've got March coming out and there's absolutely tons of Doctor Who Target World books coming out. So you look at it and go, right, I've got to get that book off Audible, I've got to get that book off Audible, and I'd like to speak to those people. You basically, it's a continuous sort of thing, because you want, if the thing I found with podcasts or this sort of thing, if you don't social mediaize, if you don't continuously tell people what you're up to, then you can come back and you can have a month off, and if you come back after that month, people will not be listening. So you have to continuously keep the whole social networks up and running, you know, keep the what in your brain, what's going to be the next podcast. I'm working in my head at the moment, like up to March, basically. I've got like March nearly covered, because there's like 5 different books coming out in March, and I plan to do those every week in March, basically. So you're always working ahead and hoping that people are listening and the ratings going. I know you shouldn't, but I'm a continuous checker of the feedback and ratings on Audio Boom. This is my subscribed podcast host I use, and it's like, you shouldn't really look every day, but I try not to, but you always end up looking, basically.
Yeah, and I think it's important to kind of keep your stats at the front of your mind and know what shows did well and maybe what shows weren't listened to as much, and then you can try to drill into that and find out why. Alex, it's great to talk to another podcaster. First of all, I'm sure all our Doctor Who fans will be jumping to hear your show. How can people find you, and how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can get in touch with me on Twitter at WhoTarget, which is the Twitter handle. You can basically get the podcast anywhere. If you've got a smart speaker on Alexa, if you just ask it for the play the Doctor Who Target World podcast, it finds the nearest episode. You can subscribe to it on all normal places like Apple Podcasts. We're there on TuneIn, all on Spotify. We are everywhere, basically. So if you go to any sort of hoster, like if you go to Apple Podcasts, we're there. And you just subscribe there, like, for your normal podcast, basically. That's where you'll find us.
You're all over the place, everywhere, which is brilliant.
We're basically everywhere. We are everywhere.
Okay. Alex, best of luck with it. It's a great initiative. Thanks for letting us know about it. I wouldn't have known about it, but my colleague Sharon, who works with me here in Sight and Sound in Dublin, is a big Doctor Who fan, and I know she's been checking you out, by the way. She's been going through the episodes quite quickly, so
that's good.
She's looking forward to hearing more. Stay safe and well. Keep podcasting.
Same to you.
And we will check in with you again. All right, take care.
Definitely. Thanks so much for this.
Now you're listening to the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. Remember, podcast@sightandsound.co.uk is our address. We love to hear from you. And from one creative person to another, Rosie Dempsey is in Belfast, and she's just gone about the very small task of bringing out an EP during lockdown, and she joins us on the show today. Rosie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Stuart. Lovely to be here.
Great to have you. I saw this completely by chance on your Twitter feed last week, that you just brought out an EP. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. So basically what I wanted to do was to bring out an EP of some of my favourite songs. The genre that I usually sing in would be Irish folk and traditional music, and I've been involved in that sort of scene in Belfast for quite a long time now, and there's quite a lot of opportunities to sing and to learn new songs here, which I absolutely love. So it was just an opportunity for me to bring out some of my favourite songs, and, you know, just to give them maybe a slightly different flavour as well. So
okay, and we come back to the album in just a sec, and I want to talk a little bit about how you put it together. But just before that, you tell us a little bit about yourself, because I know you have low vision, and you're doing some really interesting work with the RNIB.
Yes, Stuart, I am registered as severely sight impaired. I have albinism, which I was born with. It's a genetic condition affecting pigment. So pigment in my case and my hair, skin and eyes would be quite low. So it's just been something that I've never known any different, if you know what I mean. So as things have gone on, I've just found different ways to adapt. I think like many of us growing up with a sight issue, it's just finding ways around things, isn't it? Finding ways around the challenges.
Sure. Tell us a little bit about what you do for the RNIB, because I know you guys are always doing sort of interesting things, especially for young people.
Yes, so I am part of the Children, Young People and Family Service. So I am one of the assistant leads. There are two of us. There's the head of the service and then there are two assistant leads. I have a colleague who covers England and I cover Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales. And really my role is to look at the strategy of what we're doing and try and work with different partners, whether it's teachers of the visually impaired or other professionals working for people with sight loss across the different countries as well. So I really get a good opportunity to work in partnership and look at how we can make things better for children and young people. And then we have a very strong family support service on the ground, and they support families directly, giving advice and information. And we have events. We have a particular event called Shape and Share, which is really exciting. We've managed to move that all online, obviously, because of COVID. We aren't doing face-to-face events at the minute, but it's an opportunity for families to come together, do different activities, and we take their feedback and we're trying to get them more involved in the planning of those things. So it's shaping the service from their point of view and sharing their experiences as well. So we've had a lot of requests for things like information and advice at this time as well, because obviously it's quite challenging for families.
I was just going to ask that. How are your families doing? How is everybody keeping? Because it's crazy, isn't it?
I think like us all, they have their struggles, but I think they have with the lockdown and everything else, but they do have the additional challenges sometimes of getting their head around homeschooling and the technology that they might need, or the fact that, you know, the children have technology with access features and parents maybe just aren't quite as used to that as some of the teachers and the teaching assistants in school would be. So it's really been a bit of a learning curve for people. So we have tried to do some events to focus on that, again, working in partnership with a lot of different organisations as well, because we do recognise that partnership's so important at this stage, and we want to do everything we can to help families at this time. But yeah, some of them have found it a bit of a challenge. And then for families maybe who have children with additional needs, there's been issues around, you know, when social care and support can come in. So that's had a bit of an impact on them as well. So we're just trying to be there to support them whenever we can.
Okay, that's really all you can do at the moment, and I suppose everybody Absolutely. Has to try to do that while staying safe, which is sometimes a big challenge, I think. Rosie, I want to, I suppose, talk a bit about the idea of putting together an EP. Was this something you kind of wanted to do during lockdown? Because it sounds like a really interesting project to do.
Actually, not really. I hadn't planned for putting it together during lockdown. It kind of seemed to be just the way things happened. So I actually recorded it at the end of January 2020, where we'd maybe heard a bit of an inkling that something was happening with the virus, but yeah. we did not know what was coming, really. So what had happened was actually I had recorded before, but it was a number of years ago, and I always wanted to do it again because I felt at that stage, whilst I really enjoyed doing it, I think I didn't really know what I was doing at that stage. And I learned so much through the process of it that I wanted to try it again and see if I could improve upon what went before. So a friend of mine, Andrea Begley, who is herself an excellent singer mm-hmm. and songwriter, and she had actually I had a big birthday a couple of years back, and she got me a slot in a studio as a present. But I didn't, for whatever reason, I wasn't able to do it that year. So I ended up doing it at the end of January 2020. So I was in the studio and I had Andrea with me. She was very kindly doing some backing vocals for me. And also my good friend, Joe Kenny, who's an amazing guitar player.
Yes,
he played guitar for me. So there was the three of us in this little studio. which is a lovely place, actually. And the studio, which is Pine Grove in Ballymena, which is in County Antrim, the Paul, who looks after the studio and runs it, totally got that genre of music. I think he used to play in traditional groups and bands and stuff like that. So he knew the music, and he's a real perfectionist as well. So we recorded everything in January, but after that, we needed to go back and go over things. Well, it was actually only me, because of the restrictions that were in place at that point. I shared the information and things with the others through email and stuff. So, you know, the rough versions of the tracks, and then tried to improve upon them working with Paul in the studio.
So what was that like, kind of going back in during the lockdown? Was it strange, you know, sort of hearing something you had put together in a different time?
Very much so, because actually the next time we went back, so I recorded at the end of January, and I went back sort of in the middle of August. So it had been a little while. So like, people do advise you when you're recording, sometimes you need to actually sit with your tracks, listen mm-hmm. to them a few times and see if there's any other instruments you might like, or whether you want to change anything, you know, just any things that you might think about that. And I had plenty of time then to sit with them, because obviously the lockdown came in towards the end of March, and really they had, in the summertime here, they had moved to restrictions.
Yeah.
So the recording studio was allowed to operate, but whenever I went the second time, it's two rooms. So there's an outer room just, and then the inner room with all the computers and equipment. So Paul was in the inner room and I was always sitting in the outer room, and we were both masked up and hand sanitizer all over the place, really. So it was quite a different feel to the first time, where there were maybe, I think there were three of us in the studio then, yeah. So, or four of us actually. So it was quite a different feel, obviously, with the social distancing and everything. We thought that maybe one more session would finish it, because there's one particular song on the EP called The Maid of Achadui. Achadui is a townland in County Derry, which is where I'm from. And the story behind that song is that I was in our singing circle. So there used to be a singing circle in the Crescent Arts Centre in Belfast. And we didn't, couple of really excellent tutors, but one of them, Maurice Leiden, he is a collector of local songs, and he actually started singing a song, and I recognized all the places he was singing about, and I said, that song's about Achadui, and he said, yes it is. And I said, have you any more songs about it? And he said, yeah, I'll get you some. And so he found this song for me. It was just the words, so I had to go and find an air for it. So I just went through some of the traditional songs to see what worked. And I found, you know, then obviously the air for the song. So we wanted, I think with the studio and the trip back to the studio, it was really to finish that one back, because there was a very particular way I wanted that to be, because it's a traditional song. I wanted it to be quite stripped back. While obviously I did want the music in it, I wanted to emphasise the words, because they're quite important as well. It's a love song, but it's, as usual with traditional songs, it's one of those where it doesn't work out for the couple,
yeah.
And then he goes away, you know, the usual story.
Right.
But there are some beautiful descriptive words about the places that he goes as well, and as well as telling the story of what happened between him and the maid. So, so I really wanted to work on that one particularly. I thought it needed a bit more attention. So I went back in November. So again, I was having these gaps of, you know, 2 or 3 months or 3 or 4 months between these different sessions in the studio. But it was definitely worth it. I certainly got to take my time over it, that's for sure.
Well, that's great, though. And I suppose I'm just thinking, OK, because the album it is out now. I know you put it up. It was on social media, I think, last week or the week before. And in normal times, maybe you might have had a little launch in a bar or somewhere, maybe in Belfast. You would have had an event. Of course, you couldn't do anything like that now. Was that different?
Yeah, that is quite a difference because, as I say, I did some recording a number of years ago back in 2014, and I did actually do a launch at that point. And it was really nice just to share it with family, friends, you know, people who were interested in hearing it as well. And Joe played guitar for me at that time as well. So it was a really good and fun event. So I haven't really been able to do that, obviously, now. So I've just taken it, taken part in some of the sessions that are happening online. So I'm hoping now to get back to what's known as Sunflower Folk Club, which is an excellent folk club that usually takes place every week in the Sunflower Bar here in Belfast. But actually now it has moved online, so a lot of the singing sessions have moved online. Belfast Trad as well, who run a lot of sessions, have just had a traditional singing weekend online with workshops and everything else, so I've taken part in that and sang some of the songs there. So it's a slightly different way of getting the music out there, so I'm trying to do it online, basically. It's a different experience, but you do get used to it. Having said that, I will be pleased when we can get back out again, and I hopefully will do some kind of an in-person launch when I can.
Absolutely. Keep us posted on that as well.
Will do.
Where can people find out more about the album? Where can they hear it? Where can they find out more about you? And how can they keep in touch with everything that you're getting up to?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is @RosieDempsey. I'm also on Facebook. I have a page called Rosie Dempsey Music. And you'll find all the details about my album there. And also I have a website, which is RosieDempsey/HearNow.com. That's HearNow.com. And you'll find all the details, as I said, on my pages. It's available in all the usual places for streaming. So hopefully you should be able to come across it there.
So you can say to your smart speaker, play Rosie. I want to hear the latest EP from Rosie Dempsey.
Yes, you can indeed. Yes, you can ask her for Rosie Dempsey.
Okay, and we're going to take a little clip from that in just a sec. Rosie, sincere thanks and best of luck. It's a great time. It's a really interesting time to launch something like this. And I think fair play to you. It's great to hear people doing things like this. Keep singing, keep the music going. And thanks so much for chatting to us today.
Thank you very much, Stuart. Lovely to be here.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed talking to Rosie Dempsey there about her new EP. Go get it wherever you get your music. You've heard all the ways you can get it. And I've been thoroughly enjoying this for the last 2 days. It's been playing on my hi-fi and really, really enjoying it. So thank you, Rosie. And we're just about at the end of the show. No point ending with our boring podcast music. Let's have a listen to Rosie and the song she talked about. This is The Maid of Agadooey to play us out. Talk to you soon from Sight and Sound. And Stuart, goodbye.
Come all you young men inclined to ramble to some foreign country your friends to see. Come pay attention to what I mention, and soon you will hear what has happened to me. For I left the parish called Agadooey, which causes me here in grief to stand and ponder deeply on the days I sported down by the banks of the Bonny Ban. Thank you. game sported, but seldom courted. A fair one that I chanced to spy. She being a stranger and I a ranger, I deemed no danger for to wink my eye. Then I stepped up to her, not to pursue her, but my heart to cure of a sudden ache. Congratulate her. I feared she'd think that I was.